host Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we are live. I am super excited to do my favorite thing, introduce you to a new member of the News for the Soul family. I'm particularly excited about this show and this topic. It's one that I'm very passionate about and have some experience with. Conscious Parenting with Sandra. I've lost my page. Here's what we do, is we get to know people from the famous first question and unpeel the onion from there. That's what we're going to do today. Sandra Jones Keller is the host and Conscious Parenting is the new show. Let's get her on and start with our famous first question. You can find her if you want to cheat and move ahead. Read the bio and stuff, newsforthesoul.com. But in the meantime, Sandra, welcome to News for the Soul.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nicole. I'm so excited about starting this program.
Yay, me too. Me too. Very passionate about the topic of conscious parenting, as you know, having gone through that journey as a single parent with two kids while I was founding News for the Soul over a couple of decades. So it's been an interesting ride. So this is a huge topic and one that I'm surprised we haven't manifested you earlier, but here we are. Now is good. Let's start.
Now's the perfect time.
Exactly. Boy, is it ever. Let's start with our famous first question and get to know you and your journey today. So the reason we ask this first is because it's the place that connects us as a grassroots movement on our authentic quest to figure out what's really real and what's really possible. And for me, this is what set me on my path, having direct experiences with something outside the 3D norm. So, And it's, you know, it's a conversation we should be having a lot more out there about, because once you start comparing notes, it's pretty wild. And it changes your, you know, it changes your perspective of what's really real and what's really possible. So I'm curious what your earliest recollection of something in that category would be, and also your most profound.
Oh, gosh. I actually have a memory. I think I was maybe 3 or 4, and I was asleep, but I was out of my body, and I was at the window looking outside into our backyard, and my spirit friend, like, came kind of floating in, but it was on the outside, came floating in and wanted to play. And I remember saying, I can't play with you anymore. I'm going to stay here. It's like I'm committed to being here in the physical. And so I sent them away. And I still remember, and it's like I'm just talking about it, just the sadness comes up because I was 3 or 4, so I didn't really know what was going on. But thinking back, it's like I made a conscious choice day in the physical, and for me, like, looking back, it was like I didn't know how to be in both worlds, and so I felt like I had to send my spirit friend away in order to be here. So that was one of my earliest memories.
So the biggest question that comes up there is, were you surprised in the moment to discover you had a spirit friend, or did you already know?
At that point, no. It was like, I think it was probably a normal occurrence that, you know, when I would dream or whatever, this my friend would appear. Because I don't remember it being odd. I just remember this one moment where I decided that I couldn't play with it anymore. Like, I don't remember before that. I think before that, it was like kind of just natural, until maybe I realized that it was somewhere else and then I was in this house and that the two were different.
Wow.
So I don't really remember any of that. I just remember, like, making the choice of I can't play with you anymore.
Do you remember any details about your spirit friend?
No, I don't. It was, because, like I said, for me, the memory is it kind of came floating. Like, I was in the house, and it was nighttime. I was in the house looking out the window, and it just kind of came floating in. And I guess this was probably a normal occurrence, and then I would, you know, go hang out with it or whatever we would do. But on this particular night, it was I had made a choice that I couldn't play anymore because I was going to be committed to being in this physical world with my family.
Did you say it was a he before?
I don't know what it was. It was an entity. It was an energy.
Hmm.
So I don't know that it had gender. Like I said, my memory of it is just it was floating and that it was my friend.
Wow. Wow, that's very cool. Do you remember it really well, like lucidly, even today?
I remember that particular memory. I don't remember like anything before it of playing or anything like that. I just remember that particular moment because I was very sad, and it was very sad that I wasn't going to interact with it anymore. It was like a sadness. It was a loss. It was like, you know, cutting off a tie with a best friend.
Wow. Because that's one of the qualities of these experiences is, I mean, I remember mine like they're yesterday from when I was two, or even when I, well, my earliest one is when I entered the womb. And, you know, it never fades, those memories. So it's interesting. How do you think that one affected you going forward?
That's an interesting question. I think that I felt like I had to hide part of myself in order to be accepted, in order to appear quote-unquote normal. And so I feel like I did that so that I could fit in with my family, so that I could fit in with being on this earth in the third dimension. And so feeling like it wasn't safe to have the metaphysical part of me and the physical part of me.
It's amazing how early this conditioning pops in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, and at that age, I didn't have this awareness of any of this. You know, this is like looking back on it.
Right. Interesting. So, all right. How about some of your profound ones, although that's still profound in itself, but what are some other memories that fit the bill?
Well, I remember I was in high school, and I was a junior going into my senior year or something, and I had been on drill team and stuff like that, but I really, really wanted to be like a cheerleader. And I remember, like, standing in the stands, like, watching the cheerleaders. It's like, wow, that would be so cool. And then I tried out for, like, the song girl and the yell girl or something like that, and I didn't make it. And then I was standing in the stands, and all of a sudden, like, literally, it was like a veil lift. It was like the blinds went up, and I saw myself on the field cheering. And then it just, like, it went back down. And then a few days later, I tried out for our, like, mascot. There was three of us. We were Cherokee dancers. And I made it. And I knew I was going to make it because I saw myself. And so that stands out. But it was, like, that was the first time where it was, like, the veil lifted. And it was, like, you know how you lift blinds? So it's, like, here you're looking at a blind, and then you pull the string, and it goes up, and you can see outside. And then it goes back down. So it was like that, where I could see into the future. And then it just went right back down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that again?
Yeah, I have. I've had a couple of experiences where, like, I would get a flash of, like, something's going to happen. And so then what that does is, like, there's a level of certainty. Like, even if there's no physical evidence of that thing happening, it was like, okay, well, I've already seen it, so it's going to happen. It doesn't happen very often. I haven't had it happen in a long time.
Hmm.
In that way.
Very handy. Practical,
it
handy one. Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah.
So, like, what did that tell you about the nature of reality, if that could be possible?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's an interesting question, because growing up, we went to a Baptist church and stuff, and I always had this, like, deep and profound love of God in my heart. And then I would go to church and try to find that, and I couldn't. And so I was very frustrated and confused, because I would go to church and they were talking about sin and damnation and all of this stuff. And so I was trying to reconcile that with what I was feeling, and I couldn't. You know, and so I tried, and I kept going to this church, and I got baptized, and just really trying to find that feeling in my heart in the outer world. And then it wasn't until I was introduced to spirituality and metaphysics, and I went into a church. It was in Los Angeles or something. I think it was called Maranatha, as a matter of fact. But I went into this church, and they were talking about, you know, being in a physical body, having a spiritual experience, and, like, the stuff that I had felt. And I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, I found it. And so up until that, it was frustrating. And then, you know, I kind of went away from spiritual. You know, I was growing up, so I was just trying to deal with growing up stuff. And I went to school, and I got on my spiritual path in my mid to late 20s. So that was a long time ago.
How did that culminate into becoming aware of conscious parenting?
Oh boy, that's been a long journey. Well, I started, you know, on my spiritual path. I think the very first book someone gave me a book. Like, I met a friend, and she kind of introduced me to all this stuff. And I think one of the very first books I read was Aliens Are Among Us by Ruth Montgomery. And so I read this book, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. I went to school, and I worked, and then I started studying energy healing and doing all these classes and stuff. And I have not had a very linear journey at all. And so I was doing a lot of different things. And then I wrote a couple of books. I had my daughter late in life. I had her at 42. And the first book came to me, which was Intuitive Communication with Your Baby Soul, and that was about how I developed intuitive two-way communication with my daughter to get through my high-risk pregnancy. And then after that, we were homeschooling, and then I was invited to conduct mindfulness lessons to my daughter's homeschool group. And once I was kind of in the middle of that, I realized, oh, this is my next book, because I can share these principles. And then my latest book, Tips and Trips of Parenting a New Age Kid, that's a series of essays about how we use universal laws, mirroring, and forgiveness to raise our daughter. And so it kind of just morphed, because we recognize that the tools that we used in our relationship, mirroring and forgiveness, were the same tools that we use in raising our daughter. And so it just kind of morphed into conscious parenting.
So what were those principles?
Oh, well, it's kind of funny. So my husband, Thomas, and I went to a relationship retreat, and we weren't even married at the time. And we were struggling. We were having a hard time. And we went to a relationship retreat, and I was with our master teacher. And, you know, I had a whole list in my head of the things that I was going to talk about. And the first thing out of her mouth was, you're only in a relationship with yourself. I was like, what? Like, no, wait a minute, because I have a whole list. And so the whole retreat was about everyone is a reflection of myself, mirroring. So whatever I'm thinking, believing, behaving, I then project out, and that person is mirroring back to me. And then so we took those tools and we used, you know, the mirroring, and then forgiveness work, we use a process called Ho'oponopono developed by or modernized by Dr. Hugh Lin. And so it's mirroring. It's like if I'm seeing it out there, then I'm being it. Forgiveness. So I see this thing out there, and so I start forgiving it, releasing the energy in myself so that I can clear this pattern, these things that are happening in my life that I don't like. So they're very straightforward tools, but it takes, you know, discipline, because sometimes I don't like what I'm seeing out there and don't want to admit that maybe I'm generating it. And so it's mirroring, it's forgiveness work, and then universal laws, like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we don't talk to Mecca about, oh, you know, you shouldn't steal because it's bad and wrong. It's like, you know, universal laws, if you steal, stolen from, or you'll be afraid you're going to be stolen from. If you lie, you'll be lied to. And so then that gives her agency over her life, because who she's being and what she's creating is going to come back to her. And so that's how this all evolved.
I love the Ho'oponopono aspect. I actually interviewed Dr. Hugh Lin many times when that first came out. That's in the archives somewhere. It's a good journey. I used to like it because he would clean me and News for the Soul before he'd come on.
Yep.
Yeah, it was nice. All right. So, you know, a big part of conscious parenting is the quote-unquote disciplining, getting out of that powering over aspect. Let's dive into that one.
Okay.
So what was your approach?
What is our approach? Oh, gosh. Well, our approach is really, if there's an issue going on, and that's what's so fun about my Tips and Trips book. You know, I talk about some of, you know, kind of the issues that happen. And what we do is, like, if there's something going on, you know, I'll kind of step back and, like, what am I seeing here? Like, I have a story in there called My Daughter is So Busted. And it was like she was about 8 years old, and I walked into her room, and she was watching some show on Netflix, and she was being really weird. And I knew she was lying about what she was watching. I couldn't figure out why she was lying. And so, like, instead of, you know, trying to drill her, I just took the information. I'm like, okay, let me see what is going on with me here. And as soon as I really got quiet, I saw that earlier that day, I had offered access to a website to a friend of mine for free that I thought was a paid website. So I wasn't clean. And so my daughter had actually overheard me doing that. And so when I saw that, I felt like I was out of integrity, and I felt like I was hiding and sneaking around. Then I went to my daughter and had that conversation. And our conversations are pretty short because she's not very talkative in that way. And then I just said, okay, I noticed that when I came in your room, you were being really weird. and I don't feel like you were, you know, being powerful. So, like, what's going on? Like, why did you feel like you had to hide that? And so we talked about that, and she just basically said, well, because you weren't familiar with the show, and I wasn't sure. And I said, well, if you're not sure, then why don't you ask instead of feeling like you have to hide, because the energy of hiding doesn't have you feel powerful in your life. So that's an example.
So did you always find it was a mirroring of something within you?
Oh. Yes. And then, you know, and then there's just life and people do what they do.
Yep.
And what's funny, though, is like, my, like, you know, if I'm honest, like, so one of the things, like my daughter will give short answers. It's like, oh, how was your day? It was fine. Oh, what'd you do? You know, but, and then, you know, and I'm like, God, why won't she share? But to be honest, I know I do the same thing. Like, I can come home and my husband will ask me, and if I'm tired or don't feel like talking, I do the exact same thing. And so until I'm really ready to clean it up or give that up, she's going to show up that way for me.
Do you have just the one daughter?
Yep.
And how old
just
is she now?
She's 16.
Okay, so you're cruising through the teens.
We're cruising through the teens.
I had two daughters myself, and it's interesting because I went through the whole learning process with them. But they were very different personalities. But one came out absolutely amazing. And the other one, she interpreted my efforts at what you're talking about, you know, particularly mirroring, but any kind of conscious approach, she interpreted that as my weakness and tried to take advantage of it. Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It is, isn't it? Yes. Mm. So fun, not, but so
yeah.
It's interesting. You know, even when you look at the whole, it's funny, I didn't plan on going here with you on your first thing, but this is where we're guided to go, right into the middle of it, conscious parenting 101.
Okay.
You know, even when you look at the whole millennial phenomenon, right, is like my generation, most of us were horribly abused. I was terribly abused. You know, like I had really rough, you know, go. And so I went really, part of my quest for conscious parenting was to make damn sure I wasn't anything like anyone that was around me as a kid, right? And I think that's what drove a lot of us to wake up and to, you know, we could see that something was wrong and off, and it was kind of a gift in a way that it made us wake up. I actually attribute a lot of my superpowers, you know, psychic senses and stuff to having to, because my survival depended on it back then, physically, right? Mm-hmm. You just develop this super radar and stuff. So I think a lot of that drove us to go, you know, I mean, the age where nobody wins, they all get a trophy, you know, that whole kind of, like, we went kind of over almost. And now we've got the millennials to deal with, right? Like, So it's interesting. So what is your take on that?
Oh, gosh.
No small questions today,
well,
apparently.
You know, so, one, I'm very blessed to have a conscious mate. So we met inside of a spiritual group. So we have a very similar philosophy. So I'm very blessed I don't have, like, that resistance. And so seeing we had decided early on was that we wanted to parent from what was before us, our daughter, not from, like, all that we had learned. And so when things happen, or when she, like she'll ask to do something, like sometimes I think, well, I didn't do that at her age, you know, that kind of thing. And then I have to bring myself back. It's like, but this has nothing to do with that. You know, our commitment is to be with what's in front of us and her. And so then to evaluate things based on who she is, not based on what happened to me or what I could and couldn't do, and all of that.
Mm.
And so it takes something, you know, because for me, conscious parenting is, one, recognizing that my daughter is a spiritual being. First and foremost, yeah. She's a spiritual being. She has her own guide. She has her own purpose in life. And we're here, I'm here to guide her through, you know, helping her navigate being on Earth. And so even that comes from shift how I parent, because I'm parenting a spiritual being, a spiritual master. I'm not parenting a baby. I'm not parenting this kid who I have dominion over because they came through me.
Yeah.
So our come from is different. Then that leads to how we parent her and how we talk to her and how we work things out with her. You know, because she is a spiritual being. And so it's like not my job to try to plan out her life and, you know, make sure X, Y, and Z. And so I think the balance, though, is being a mom, being a parent, and wanting the best for your kids. And then it's a juggling act. It's like, you know, wanting the best, wanting them to be safe, wanting them to be happy.
Yep.
And so, you know, the balance between the physical and the spiritual and the metaphysical. And so, like I said, I feel fortunate that Thomas and I can talk through these things and work these things out. And, you know, usually one of us is grounded even if the other one isn't. And so it's like whoever's the most grounded, okay, you're grounded, so let me have my moment, and then I'll be grounded, then you can have your moment, and then we can all talk. I don't know if that answered your question, but...
No, it does to a point. It is very much a... Because it was a learning curve, right? The balancing act,
yes.
And learning where, you know, it still is. It's a new fangled
yeah.
thing, you know, that this generation... And moving forward, I mean, we're ending generational patterns like negative things, and it's a huge deal. My older daughter, I think in part...
How old are your daughters? How old are your daughters?
So they were born in 89, 89 and 90, or no. Oh, my God. 89 and 91. That's not
okay,
right.
They're adults then.
Yeah, they're adults now. They're 8 years apart, though. And when I had my first one... When I gave birth, that was when part of my awakening of, my God, I need to be conscious now. And it's when my whole awakening started and learning about all this stuff, because I, like I said, didn't come from healthy anything. So my entire focus was become conscious as fast as you bloody can. Because I was new, right, I probably didn't have it down until the later years, because she used to run around going, oh, here's mom going on with her positive crap again, right? But, you know, the joke was on her later, because no matter what she thought of it, she ended up being a self-aware, empowered, self-sufficient being, you know? And so the joke was on her at the end. But, you know, I think because it was new and it's reflecting kind of where I was at and the growth I had to go through. My second daughter, I think we talked a little bit about this, and I've been all excited about covering this on the show today. My second daughter came in wide friggin' awake and aware. Mm-hmm. She named herself before she was born. And I'll just describe what happened to me, and then I know you had a similar thing, so I want to hear that story.
Okay.
But what happened with me is I was pregnant in the first trimester, and I was sleeping one night, and this entity entered my space. I woke up, but it was dark, and I was like paralyzed, and this entity spoke to me and said, hello, I'm going to be your child. I'm going to be a girl.
Oh.
And I want you to name me Brianda, please. And it made me over enunciate Brianda until I fell back asleep. Yeah. And so I woke up thinking, what the hell was that? And how the hell do you spell Brianda? Because I'd never heard that name. It doesn't exist anywhere. I had to make up the spelling, and to this day, there's no other Brianda anywhere. Yeah, it gave me validation of knowing, right, to this day, that was a real thing, because, you know, fast forward 6 months and I'm having a girl. So I remembered that and honored that, because I wasn't going to mess with the netherworld on any level at this point. You want to be named that? Okay, yeah. There you go. And it was very, but it was that one of those outside the 3D norm, very lucid experiences that I remember to this day, right? It was very real. So tell us your story. Yeah.
Well, I was pregnant, and we decided we were going to kind of wait to hear the name or to intuit the name. And so we were driving. I'm not sure even what we were doing. And all of a sudden, like, these names just kind of started coming through Thomas, and he's like, what about Rebecca? I was like, no. What about Becca? I'm like, no. And he said, what about Mecca? And I said, and we both went, yes.
Mm.
Now, at the time, I didn't know any other people named Mecca, and it's spelled M-E-C-C-A. I didn't know any other people named Mecca, but as soon as he said it, it went, yes, that is her name. And
I love
then
that name.
And it fits her, and it's just so cool. And, you know, then we were going back and forth on if she was going to have a middle name or not, because I wanted to hyphenate. I wanted her last name to be Jones Keller. My maiden name was Jones, and this was Keller. So she already had three names. And so it's like, yeah, you know, if we find a middle name, we do. If we don't, we don't. That's fine. And so one day I went to Starbucks with him. Now, he went to Starbucks like every morning at the time, and I seldom went to Starbucks that early in the morning. But so I was with him, and there was this cute little girl. And her name was Malia. And I was like, whoa, that is a beautiful name. And we asked the parents, like, yes, it's Hawaiian for Mary.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh. And they spelled it M-A-L-E-A. And we thought it was such a beautiful name. I was like, that's going to be her middle name.
There it is.
And so we
yeah.
just waited for the names to come to us. And when they did, it was like, that's nice. Like, just energetically.
And it makes so much sense. I mean, a name is such a personal thing. It's an important thing that you don't just, you know. And we'd been
yeah.
conditioned previously to just kind of look it up, baby names, and go through the list. And, you know, all the negative associations you have with certain names are off the list. And then, you know, just this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Just a very left-brained approach. But that's very cool. And what a beautiful name. And and the two names go together so perfectly. It's melodic.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Wow. Does she like her name now?
I think so. She's never said that. Yeah, I think she likes it, but for whatever reason, people can never pronounce it. Like if we're out somewhere and she gives them her name, it's always Mecca, Micah. It's everything but Mecca. So, and I don't think it's a difficult name, so I'm not sure what that is.
Different.
But, yeah.
As soon as you have something different, people get weird. I think my daughter gets called Brie all the time because they can't deal with it either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that.
I
love how, you know, it's not just, it's beyond letting it come to you. There's an intuitive divine guidance intervention thing. Like, you don't normally go to Starbucks and then you happen to be there that one moment, right? You know, there's something more there.
Oh, I totally believe that. Because as soon as that happened, I was like, that's why I came this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I always get little goosebumps and stuff like that. Love it. So, oh my gosh, the time's just racing along. Okay, all right, let's focus it in here. So for the next 10 minutes, what we want to do is kind of focus on bringing this together to you mentioned you wrote a book. Like, how did this all come together under an umbrella of this being what you do?
Well, I'm an intuitive pregnancy coach and spiritual energy healer. Like, that was kind of my title. And then I realized that I'm writing all these books about parenting, or, like, you know, for what I consider new age kids. And so I do, you know, all of it, but, like, the tips and tricks book I wrote to give people an alternative, because it's definitely not a how-to book. It's a book sharing our personal experiences, and it actually has a lot of dialogue. So people get to see and hear how we work through things. And not only that, but my daughter wrote 5 stories for it. So then you get to hear the child's perspective, which you rarely do. And I just felt it was so important because I see parents struggling. And a lot of the struggle that I see are these power struggles because they say X and they want the kid to do X now. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work like that, or a lot of times. And,
that's the whole old paradigm of parenting. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and so I have a couple of stories in there, like when I had my agenda about something, like it just didn't go well. Because I wasn't listening, I wasn't considering what she had said, I wasn't considering what she wanted, and it ends up with me being frustrated. And so I know I've seen a lot of parents frustrated that, oh, my kid doesn't listen, my kid doesn't do this. It's like, well, you've got your agenda for what you think is supposed to happen and how it's supposed to look. And so I wrote the book just to, you know, offer an alternative for parents to say, oh, you know, maybe they don't do it that my way, but it's like, oh, you know, maybe I could consider doing something else. And then the 21 lessons is a series of literally 21 lessons, and they're short conversations to have with your kids to bring the awareness of how powerful they are in their lives. Like, no matter what's going on in the world, they still have control and agency over what they're thinking, how they're feeling, how they're being in the world. And so I've got lessons in there about an attitude of gratitude. And if you can't get to gratitude, how do you get to gratitude? I have a lesson about blame versus responsibility, how when you're in a state of blaming, then you have no power or control. It's only from a place of responsibility that you can actually affect change in your life and in the world. I talk about beliefs and how, you know, what you believe. And I have a really cool example in my class where, you know, most of the beliefs are underneath. So you don't even know what's running you until you start, like, dissecting. And so if I had this kind of information when I was growing up, I would have spent so many years trying to get back to center.
Yep, exactly.
And so that's why I, you know, love this conscious parenting work. And it's, you know, it's so funny, like when I had a client come to me because her teenage son was not talking to her. And they were like, she was divorced from the father, and you know, they were having all kinds of stuff. And, you know, the work that we do is like, okay, what's going on with you? You know, and started like pulling her energy back, cleaning up some stuff, and that shifted the relationship with the son.
Mm.
You know, because we want to think that our kids are separate from us. Like, you know, I can do this and it's not going to impact them. Well, you know, I have an example in my book where, you know, have you ever heard like a parent complain about their anxiety and their stress and stuff, and then they're absolutely befuddled that their kid is suffering from anxiousness and nervousness?
Right.
Well, it's like, well, that's the context that you're holding. And so my work with parents is, you know, let's get you grounded, let's get you centered, let's look at some of these beliefs that you have, and let's start kind of cleaning that up and then see what shows up for you. And I remember, like, one parent I was working with, their kid was, like, really upset about something that they did. And it was, like, a young kid, too. And I said, well, did you tell them you were going to do that? And they said, no. And I said, well, you know, even though they're like only 2, they'd like to be in on it. So if you're going to leave for a week, then let them know that a couple of days before. You don't just like pack your bag and walk out the door. You wouldn't do that to your spouse. So, you know, let your kids know. So it's that kind of thing.
Mm. You know, this is the most important, this is why I was excited and why I was like, why haven't we done this earlier? Because it's the most important conversation. You know, as I was alluding to, this is where you end generational patterns of abuse and crap, right? Like, this is how we get more conscious as a collective, is raising the generations this way.
Yeah.
And getting to the whole power dynamic, that, you know, do what I say thing, that powering over and punishment when you don't win your power war, you know, it's toxic. I mean, it's just, that's the crux of it. And I love that you had your daughter write some stories in the book. You know, like, before this was a radio network, I started as a positive news newspaper, and I didn't have staff. I had two little kids, and we just, you know, did stuff together, right? Delivering the paper together, and I mean, the whole thing.
Right.
And, you know, I had my older daughter do a column, and she would review plays and restaurants, and we'd be sitting there reviewing things and be like, oh, yes, but the meringue swan is a little dry for my taste. You know, it was awesome. And when we did vacations, we didn't have money for vacations. We would literally show up, like Vancouver Island, we went over there and we'd show up and, you know, we're here to review your hotel or your bed and breakfast.
Oh, I love it.
It was great.
I think it's so fun for parents to hear from the child's perspective. You know, because we have our perspective. And, you know, when it's someone else's kid, it's easier to hear, you know, because it's not personal. And so, I said, Mecca, and, you know, be honest. Like, don't hold back. And so she didn't. So the couple was like, well, you know, you can imagine how annoying it was when my parents did X, Y, and Z. You know, but you get to hear that. And then as a parent, it's like, oh, wow, that's how that impacts them. That's how that affects them.
Well, even beyond that, you know, we're talking about the woo-woo aspect a little bit earlier. I mean, we know from our conversation, I mean, you had a spirit friend at age of three or four. I mean, they're plugged in and they know stuff, right? So when my kids told me there was a monster in the closet, I was like, locked and loaded. Where is it? You know, I did not shut them down ever on anything. And keeping that validation and that empowerment in the conversation from early on, it has a huge impact, right?
It does. I mean, and I think that's the beauty of having some kind of awareness, so that you can foster it in your kids, because if you don't, it, you know, just goes dormant around seven. And so, you don't want to discount, oh, you don't have an invisible friend. Oh, you know, it's like, because then they just slowly start shutting that aspect of themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, I know I did.
Polar opposite. We never played regular games. We played psychic cards. We had to find the red card, and, you know, like from the get-go. So it was almost like a experiment on some level to see what, you know, an awake being who didn't get shut down could do, right? It's really interesting. But, you know, I think what you're doing is so important. This time is just racing by on us today. Let's talk about everything that you offer. You mentioned a couple of examples of, you know, help ways that you support people. Give us the sort of overview of the, we're going into an extended shameless self-promotion segment. Just everything that you're offering and how it all works.
Well, let's see. I do a few private one-on-ones. And, you know, in a session, I do energy work, and I tap into the person's higher self and their guides. I do clearing. I see pictures. I hear images. I do some past life stuff. I help them to just move forward in their life with things that may have been stopping them. And so an energy session would look the same for a person coming to me for intuitive pregnancy coaching, for business coaching, or for conscious parenting coaching. You know, it's all about what their guides have in store for them in that moment and clearing it out, coaching practice. And then I've actually written four books. But, you know, three of them are really related to conscious parenting and parenting, because my first book is Communication with Your Baby's Soul. And so that actually teaches you how to develop intuitive two-way communication with your unborn, excuse me, or newborn baby. So like someone were to read that book, because that's what I did. I had a high-risk pregnancy. And I ended up having intuitive two-way communication with my daughter, and it literally, I feel like, saved my life. She, like, guided me through that pregnancy. So she always had a very strong, clear voice.
So tell us about that. Tell us about what that was. That sounds like an exciting story. We can't pass that up.
Okay, well, I was about 3 months pregnant, and I was in Vegas with my husband, Thomas. We weren't married at the time. So we were in Vegas at a spiritual conference, and I was huge because I had two large fibroid tumors. So I always looked much more pregnant than I was. So we were in Vegas, and it was Sunday night, and he says, oh, by the way, I checked this out of our hotel. We're going to stay with my friend. I'm like, what do you mean you check this out of the hotel room? I'm pregnant. I don't want to stay, you know, with your friend. I'm uncomfortable. I said, I'm going to go home. We were in Vegas and we lived in Los Angeles at the time. I'm like, I'm going to catch a ride home. I don't want to do that. And he's like, well, did you ask the baby what it wants to do? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, why would I do that? He's like, well, did you ask the baby? Because I don't think we had a name at that time, or we didn't know the sex. I was like, whatever. So I thought I would go humor him. And so I went and I got quiet. And I said, okay, do you want to go home with me or do you want to stay in Vegas with Daddy? And oh my gosh, his clear voice said, I want to stay in Vegas with Daddy. And I was like, what the heck is that? And I was like, because I had my own agenda, right? I wanted to go home. And it was like, I'm like, are you sure? Like, don't you want to go home with me or do you want to stay in Vegas? And it was like, I want to stay in Vegas with my daddy. I was like, whoa. So I went back to Thomas. I said, okay, we're staying. So that was the beginning of the intuitive two-way communication. Like before that, I had been talking and, you know, rubbing my belly and stuff. But in that moment, I heard her voice. It was very clear. It was very direct. And so from that, whenever I would have these, I'm sorry, lose my voice. Whenever I've had my doctor's appointment, so I was like 41, had a large fibroid tumor at the base of my uterus. And so the prognosis was I would be bedridden for 3 months. I would be bedridden for most of the pregnancy. She would be 3 months premature, and I'd have a C-section. I did have a C-section. I had a scheduled C-section, but I was never bedridden, and I carried her full term. 38 weeks, and I did that by having the intuitive two-way communication. So anytime I went to the doctor and they would say all these things that were going to happen, I would go home. I'm like, okay, you know, Mecca, how are you doing? And it was always like, Mom, I'm fine. Take care of yourself. And so she had carved out like a space in between the fibroids, and she was hanging out, and she was fine. And because I knew she was fine, then I could care of myself and do the things that I needed to do to carry her. And when they said that she'd be, like, born 3 months premature, I was like, well, what does that mean? Oh, she'll be in the hospital. I'm like, what do you mean she's in the hospital? Mm-hmm. And so I went home, and I was crying, and I was upset. And I basically said, you know, Mecca, I don't want you to spend 3 months in the hospital. I'm willing to do whatever you need, you know, to carry you. And she was like, Mom, I'm fine. Take care of yourself. And so then I would just tune in with my body and, you know, do the things that I was guided to do. But I was never bedridden. And I was able to – I worked part-time up until the weekend before she was born.
Wow.
And so that started the relationship, you know, of, you know, I know this is a very powerful being. And so that's how the intuitive pregnancy coaching kind of came to play, because I was having a conversation with someone saying, oh, talking about the communication, like, oh, doesn't everyone do that? She's like, no. I was like, oh, okay. And so then I realized that most people don't know that they can have communication with their unborn and newborn babies, and they'll answer back. And then as I got into the work, women started admitting, like, I did that or I heard that, but I never said anything because I didn't want people to think I was crazy.
Mm.
So it's not that it was new, it was that people didn't talk about it.
Wow. Well, I love that you talked about it and that you wrote about it and that you're here to talk about it. That's awesome. Goodness, we're at the top of the hour already. That just went too fast. Very quickly, it goes really fast here. what do you perceive doing on future shows?
I am so excited because you reached out to me at a time when I was thinking, I really just want to have these conversations. And so future shows, my husband will be joining me a lot. My daughter may be joining me. And we're going to, go through the book. And when I may read a story, we're going to talk about a story. And then, just talk about what came up for us, how we handled it, So it's taking these esoteric universal tools, quote unquote, and making them practical. Like, how do you actually use your spiritual tools in parenting? And so that's what Tips and Trips is all about. It's about how we use the tools to raise our daughter. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And, people can, email us in and ask questions and stuff. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to share this information.
It is indeed. And, support is needed on this and guidance. And so grateful that we found you and that you're here. And I'm looking forward to your next shows already. For those listening, Conscious Parenting with Sandra. And you can find her all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Sandra, it's been great to see you today and looking forward to your next show.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Nicole.
All right. Be well, and we'll talk to you again soon. Sandra is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. The show again, Conscious Parenting. We're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. Newsforthesoul.com.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.